For years, our family had passes to Disneyland, and Disneyland is a great place to go with kids, except at nighttime, because it inevitably, after a long day of Disneyland, your kids then decide to fall asleep. Our three children, it was always the same, that Heather would get Mark Thomas, and she'd have to carry Mark Thomas, and he wasn't always 6'4". have to carry Mark Thomas out, and then I would have to get Jacob in one arm and Joshua in another. And of course, the moment they fall asleep, yeah, they like gain 50 pounds. It's crazy. And it was always tough because by that time, do you know how tired I was? I was exhausted. I was like, I don't even know if I could do this. And even worse than that, I not only had to then carry them out, I then had to get into the car. I had to drive. I had to get home. I had to pull out the sacks of potatoes, drag them in somehow. I wouldn't even take their shoes off. They could sleep in their shoes. I just don't care. Throw them in the bed, and then I would go and I would crash. And it was always this weird thing because I would hit this point where I'm pretty certain I could not take another step. I was just that physically exhausted. One of the things I'm trying to train my boys is that there are going to be times in life when it gets so incredibly difficult and challenging. But there is one thing that you can never, ever, ever do is give up. You can't stop. Especially when you're a dad, especially when you're a mom, and you don't think you have any more juice left in the tank, and you've got kids. You know you have to keep going. Their lives depend upon it. It's times like this when I really focus on Revelation 21. As many of you know, this is, in fact, my favorite chapter in the Bible. And not because of the whole chapter also. I'm going to treat chapter 21 slightly different this week because the opening four verses in Revelation 21 are, to me, just incredibly powerful. I'm not even going to end up reading the rest of the middle section. I'm going to read the first part and I'm going to read the last part. The middle part is just some discussions about the gates and the sides and precious, valuable things that they're made out of. And I don't really feel like that will generate what I think this chapter is designed for, which is, again, this book was written to people who were having a very difficult time in life. It was at the height of persecution. People were dying all over the place, and people were asking, is this life all that we have? And John is trying to say that, no, there is another life, and it will far surpass anything that you and I could ever even imagine. And the descriptions that it gives in Revelation 21, I believe we must be cautious in taking. That I don't think that everything in Revelation 21 should be taken in a literal way. If that were the case, then the city of Jerusalem will be a cube, and I don't think it's going to hold everybody. And it just seems kind of awkward. It has things like walls. Why would heaven need walls? To keep out the bad people? I don't think the bad people are banging down the walls to get in. Is it to keep you guys in? Like you get to heaven and go, this place stinks, get me out of here. Oh, shucks, there's a wall, I can't get over it. Walls are symbolic. They mean something. It means security. It means comfort. It means a lack of worry. And these are images and feelings and emotions that are supposed to be conjured up. So I'm going to read the first part. I'm going to skip a bunch, and then we're going to come back to Revelation 21, 1 through 4. So I just want to read for a little bit because I think it'll help you get a feeling from this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Go forward to verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Have you ever had experiences that you would say were heavenly? That is not a rhetorical question. Have you ever experienced something here on earth that is so transcendent that afterwards you thought to yourself, you actually got a taste or a glimpse of heaven? Yes. Dancing at your son's wedding with your son. I can't even imagine what that would be like. But as I've heard people describe it, it's otherworldly. It evokes emotions that you want to capture, right? You're like, if I could bottle this and then pull it out anytime I want, I could. And I'm sure even right now you're remembering it and those emotions are coming in. But are they even as close to powerful as when it was happening the first time? So you can catch those glimpses, but it's almost like it's fleeting. It's gone. Yes, Sue. It's different when it's you, and it's not you giving birth and screaming and yelling, and yet you get to see this miracle of life take place. Yeah.
The adoption of our girl.
Yes, and that was just on Facebook, which I thought was, and I was thankful to be there. What is that like when the judge is asking you questions like, these are your children now, what you own, they own. Anything that happens to you, they are now the full and complete beneficiaries, as if they were your own biological children. It's heavenly. It's how do you describe that?
Yeah,
it's beyond words. Yeah, yeah. Seeing your bride is beautifully dressed. Yeah, that someone is going to love you for the rest of your life. Yeah. Rich went on occasion. It was really great as the first couple of months, and Rich would do something very Rich-like. He would quickly hold up his hand and go, ha, 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 ha. You're stuck with me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Jim.
Like flag and just lifted up in the air and turned upside down. It was just incredible.
A piece of heaven on earth. And you can never create, like, you want to recapture that. You're like, I always do that, because I think that too, when I think of my wife walking, like, I remember vividly all of the images and everything and walking out and seeing her and just, like, almost dying. But, like, how do you get that back? Yeah, Jacob. Yes, when Jacob gets around a bunch of dogs. And, yeah, like, he'll go over to a friend's house, and while everyone else is, like, talking with each other, Jacob is talking with the dogs, right? Yeah, this is just what he does, because he loves it, and the feeling you get of this unconditional love is incredible. Yes? Mm-hmm. Speaking in tongues, it's something, it's so powerful. Again, it's undescribable. People have described it, and it never quite captures just that overwhelming emotional feeling. Have you ever wished that, again, why does God do this to us? Why does God allow some of these incredible things? And they could be something as great and magical as some of these things described. And I even remember sometimes one time going out with Rich and eating bacon-wrapped scallops at Flying Fish. And as I'm eating it, I'm thinking to myself, this is heavenly. This is heaven right here. I mean, it wasn't this incredible day in the life of Mark Manning, but it was so incredible. Why does God give us tastes like that and then send us back on our merry way? I wonder, again, yeah, is it a carrot that's being kind of dangled out in front of you, like, you can keep going? You know, almost like the marathon runners, and all along the way, there's people cheering them on. You can do it. I wonder what would happen if there was no people cheering for those people. Would they all just be dropping dead, like, halfway through the thing, like, I can't make it? Yeah, it's this motivation that happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thank Sue for helping my sermon, because my very next question, this is no joke, my very next question was, have you ever experienced something so hellish that it actually made even this world, this pale, dim place, feel like heaven on earth? Have you ever experienced something like that? That is not a rhetorical question. A little bit harder to discuss. Work became heaven. Yeah, and being a part of that sandwich generation, helping ailing parents and then also helping kids at the same time, very challenging. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the challenge that comes with that of making decisions, do we pull off support? Do we keep it going? What is she feeling? What is she thinking? And then having to make gut-wrenching decisions that are then compounded emotionally by the fact that someone actually dies. I know these are not the fun ones, are they? I've been thinking about this a lot, about the need for heaven. I admit that I find myself at times not needing heaven. That if I could just run my life the way it is, I could be quite happy. And I again find myself losing track of the need. Because those incredibly emotional, gut-wrenching times drive me back to Revelation 21 saying, this is not the end. No matter how bad it gets, there's something better. It is sometimes hard for us. I had a really difficult time searching these images, and I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to like them. Sorry. This world needs heaven because it's filled with some of the worst things in all the world. There are kids that don't have any food. I mean, I was really disturbed when I typed into my Google search engine starvation and clicked images, and this was the first one that pops up. Does this child need heaven? The amount of abuse that takes place. There are kids all across this. And it's, you know, it's not to say that there isn't, especially spousal abuse, but I tell you, there's one thing that really boils our blood quicker than anything. It's when, but it's happening. Do you know what happens? It happens a lot. The level of abuse, whether it be verbal or physical or sexual, we torture people. At the pastor's conference, I was listening to a gentleman, an African-American. He was talking about how, please be very careful that you don't always pine away after the good old days. He says, because we finally are now living in our good old days, when things are a little bit better, that we don't have to worry about this. But this still happens now, right? Cruelty to people just because they're, quote, different, whether it be the color of their skin, their gender, sexual identity, man's ability to be cruel and inhumane, I don't know if it has any boundaries. Type in the word Holocaust. There was a more disturbing picture of just shoes. About this high. Just mounds of shoes. You know what still happens today? That entire races are wiped out. Often usually targeting women and children? Do you sometimes think that they wonder, is this the best that it's going to get? That's Hiroshima. In one order, gone. You know, sex trafficking is one of the most lucrative businesses here in America. Do you know that? What was that? Oh, it's only a misdemeanor. Yeah, sex trafficking. Oh, that's, isn't that fabulous? Yeah, it's a misdemeanor. Usually targets girls, young girls, kidnapped, and then just sold like a slave. Sold to whoever. But don't get me wrong, it also happens to boys too. They now came out with the stat that 50% of people who buy children are women. That's a scary thought. And these kids grow up thinking that that's normal. Do you think they need heaven? Do you think this world needs heaven when we are still in the business of selling human beings? Did we not learn anything from the past? I had to crop this picture because this one was taken, and it's a very disturbing photo because right in front of these three in the orange are three more in orange, but they're face down because they just got executed. And then they shoot the video saying that they're next. Do you think this world needs Jesus? Do you think this world needs heaven? These are things we don't want to deal with. These are feelings I hate. I hate thinking about death. I hate it when people around me die. I hate it because it evokes these emotions and these feelings of just terrible hopelessness, like nothing could ever fix it. And we've been there where it's so traumatic, we don't even know if we can recover from it. And we do everything in our power to quickly move away from it. Of course, it's really difficult when you're the one that's affected. But when your friend's affected, you just really want to quickly, maybe you don't even want to be around that person because they kind of bring you down. And it becomes really challenging. And you run from it. We all run from it. I remember seeing pictures of starving kids on the TV. And what's the first thing that I do? Change the channel so I can watch a little SpongeBob. Feel good about myself. This world needs heaven. I started thinking about it more then. We talked about it before, how we often create heaven in our own image. We kind of just take the glorified parts of our existence and say, that's going to be heaven. But I think that is totally and utterly wrong, because what does that starving kid in Africa who's about to be picked apart by a vulture, what does he have to think? But we describe other things and we're like, well, that does he even know that there's this whole world that's outside that doesn't have that as a problem? Do those kids at the Holocaust, did they even know that they can actually be loved outside of their being Jewish? And I kept thinking more and more about what that must be like. Because again, heaven, in terms of trying to understand what it's going to be like and why it's important for us, is we can be talking about just how bad things can get. And I think that that's like the opposite of God giving us the taste of the heaven here on earth. He gives us a taste of the heaven here on earth, but he also gives us a taste of hell on earth. And those are those times when you feel such extreme loss. And let me tell you, it's horrible when you feel those losses in such a way that you can't even think properly and you are emotional uncontrollably. There's nothing you can do. Those are the times that drive us. But then there's also those other times when we get those tastes of heaven and we experience something magical. I've never met my grandfathers. I grew up without any grandfathers, which is kind of interesting because my kids have grown up with their grandfathers. They knew their grandmothers, but they both died when they were relatively young. But I never knew my grandfather. I'm going to have a really hard time when my kids have kids because I won't even know how to act. You know, I'm just a guy. What do grandfathers do? I've learned a lot from my kids' grandfathers as they've been great role models and great things. But what is it going to be like the first time I meet my grandfather? What are we going to talk about? What are we going to say? What about that loved one that's passed away? And what happens when you die? I'm hoping the very first thing, very first person you meet is the one that you've been longing to see. What's that going to be like? What is it going to be like for a kid from Africa starving the way is. And it's not just Africa, obviously. It's all over this world. The amount of hunger that's out there. Kids dying every day because they just can't get enough food to eat. What is it going to be like for them when they walk into heaven and spread before them is the greatest food in all the world? Up until then, what have they gotten to eat? Not much. I've tasted some yummy food here in this life, but I'm sure there's also levels of food that I have not even gotten a chance to sample that would probably blow my mind here on earth. What will happen when we get there? And it's going to be something totally even more incredible. What's it going to be like for the blind person to see color for the very first time? I wonder what it's like going to be like for my sister who is deaf, but she went deaf. So she knows what sound is. She's listened to music. She's listened to the greatest music ever, 80s. I'm waiting for Rich to shoot me dirty looks. All that she has now is things like George Michael and Wham stuck in her brain. She doesn't know the joys of Katy Perry and Ariana Grande and Skillet, exactly. What is it going to be like for her when she gets to heaven and she's going to hear music again, something that she hasn't been able to hear now for decades? What is it going to be like to never be sick again? What is it going to be like for the kid that's been bound in his wheelchair for all his life to walk? What will it be like for me to have a conversation with Mark Thomas that I could never have here on earth? These are times when I go, I have such a desire for heaven, but there is this horrible thing that gets in the way. Life. We get stuck running here, there, and everywhere, filled to the brim, as you said, sometimes numbing out the pain, but at the same time numbing our senses to the point where we can't even imagine what good feels like once again. With that in mind, I wish to go back to Revelation 21, 1-4. Oh, Rich, sorry. What is it? Yeah.
But it almost feels like you're running constantly trying to catch those moments because you know
they're always. Yeah, and those moments are always going to end, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to eat that bacon wrapped scallop and then I have to leave. Mm-hmm. You're going to dance with your son, but eventually that song, it's only 4-5 minutes long, and it's over. We have these heavenly moments, and we just what is that going to be like? What if I told you that feeling you have is a feeling that you will experience then for eternity? You will never have to say, "Is this moment going to end?" It's the reason why we can keep going when things are bad, because we know that even that is true. The bad things we experience will also ultimately come to an end. But again, it's very little comfort when you're right in the middle of it. Right? I've tried it in many counseling circumstances when people come to me and something's bad going on in their life. And I go, well, you know, it's going to end someday. And they're like, well, that's thanks. That's good to hear. Doesn't really help me now. And I go, yeah, I know it doesn't. And I'm sure when I went through bad times, people come and they're like, hey, Pastor Manning, it's going to end someday. And I'm like, shut up, I hate you, because it hurts so bad. And we run, and what happens if you will never feel that way again? What happens if you will never, ever lose your parent or your spouse, or for those people who have probably one of the most challenging things, losing a child? What happens if you've never had to feel that ever again? What is that like? Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. Again, this is very symbolic stuff. Is it? So there's going to be no water in heaven? There's going to be no ocean? I mean, have you ever been out on the ocean and just gotten an overwhelming sense of the presence of God? Where you feel like like this small. You know you're not that far out, but that, and that water is so deep. Again, you get awe-inspired, but at the same time, the sea is a very dangerous place. People die. You fall overboard and sink to the bottom. For all they know, you were just sink all the way for eternity. How would you like that? To be drowning for eternity. I mean, it was a terrifying place. And God says, look, you could come up with the most terrifying thing that you can imagine, and there's going to be no comparison. It's not going to be present. You won't have to worry about that. And then I love this, the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I mean, we've talked about how God loves the imagery of the wedding. And, you know, that's why I know teenagers are like, heaven sounds lame. Well, there will come a day when you get married and you're going to be overwhelmed with emotion. I mean, would you agree? Let's just get some nodding of heads of people. Like, you got married, it was like transcendental. You're like, oh my gosh. Now, again, that may not be everybody. Some people are like, yeah, my wedding kind of stunk. And, you know, Fat Elvis married me, and, you know, hey, you know, that's cool. Hopefully there's still something positive that came out of it. But this idea of two lives coming together, it's hard to describe that feeling to other people. And when I think of my wedding day, that's how I feel. I can describe it all the lived on day, and I've always wished to recapture, but I can't. It came to pass. Yeah. 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 We wish to run from the bad parts and wish to bottle the good parts, but whew. I love this description that God gives, verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. This is, again, I wish there was something that I could do or could experience. I mean, I really do wish every now and then it would be a wonderful boost to my faith if God every now and then would just simply show up physically. Wouldn't that be just incredible? I mean, even just a pulling back of the sky and going, hello, I'm here. That would be wonderful to me. I would be amazed by that. Or just hanging out, you know, at night praying. And then all of a sudden I look up and he's like there going, yep, okay, I got that one. Yep, okay, good. Awesome. Thanks for the prayers. Good chatting with you. I'm going to head out now. I would love that type of thing. What a wonderful feeling. Do you ever long for that? I mean, especially when things are unclear. I hate unclear situations. As most of you know, I'm a control freak, and I like to control things. So I'm just letting you know I'm in charge here, okay? Just to let you know. And what happens when it, with oh man, where was I even heading with this story? I was a control freak. Oh, and so I would love if God would just show up so that I could have this certainty, and I wouldn't have, oh, that's right, clarity. Lord, something is coming up, but I don't know what it is, and I wish you would come down and just, like, give me some next steps. And, of course, the worst answer to prayer is, wait. No, I am a control freak. I will not wait. Tell me what to do. And there's going to come a time when God says, I'll actually sit with you just as you two are sitting together, just as you're sitting next to one another, let's talk. What would that be like? How would your life be different? Now again, I know the theological answer is God, like, is God here with us now? Yeah, he's with us. I'm sure he's like knocking at my head. Hello, McFly, I'm right here. That would be good. But there's something about physicality. Yeah. Okay.
It was a calm Saturday. Pastor said, everybody stand up, hold hands, close your eyes. And all I saw was Jesus with his arms stretching a sea of people behind it. And I opened my, I couldn't hear him. I couldn't hear the pastor. I opened my eyes, and I'm like, what do I do?
What do I do? Like, what happens when God actually shows up?
I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear anybody. And I closed, and there he was again. I was stretching, his arms were super huge.
Was he closer? Oh, that'd be a little creepy, I guess. Like, all of a sudden he shows up, and he's, like, right next to you. You'd be like, whoa, yeah.
It was very, I don't know how to...
How do you describe it? What happens if that you had that every day? Instead of calling God on the phone, and sometimes I feel like this, like I'm calling God on the phone through my prayers, and a lot of it's one way, and then I kind of get, like, feelings back. But what happens if I can actually talk to him, just as I talk to you guys here? That would be... This idea of God being with us, and this is one of the challenges, again, living the life that we have now, is we live in what the theologians call the now not yet tension in life. Are you in heaven? Yes, but not yet. Are you experiencing the full, complete kingdom of God? Yes, but... Not yet. It's still, like, do we have peace in Christ? Yes, but is it the full peace of Christ? Is it like peace that, yeah, that your faith never get? No, this is that tension we live in. We get these moments of this heaven on earth, and you've got it. It's right here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, yet we're not there yet, and it drives me nuts. Like, I'm getting these foretastes of it, but when can I get the full and complete package? And that's the challenge we live in. Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I know that, yeah, I see God when I see greatness happen around me, but does anyone here have the same desire I do that, like, I could just go up to him and, like, I want to shake his hand? Do I hug him or do I shake his hand? Like, what do I do? But I want to look at, and I want to see him looking back at me. And I don't know, does that mean God has eyes and optic nerves? I don't know. That's theological stuff I don't want to get into. But there's this sense when you can actually talk to someone. I love talking to people on the phone, but isn't there something? You guys get to Skype with grandkids, right? And you get to see, but is that the same? No. When you're physically there and you get to hold, there is something that's powerful about that that cannot be replicated. That's what I want to see God. Justin. Yeah, and of course, this is earth. I mean, that's the reason why when I think of heaven, you will get to, like, I don't know, is it going to be something where we get up there and, like, God's going to have this, take a number? You're 5,736,433, and you're like, wow, that's a lot. And you look up and it says 3. And you're like, oh, great, I'm going to be here for a while, get an appointment with God. I know that we're thinking of God in these human terms, but the dwelling of God with man. Is God with us? Yes, but not yet. It's not in its fullness.
I was recently at a retreat, and at this retreat, I think it was on a Saturday night, there was a skit that they did, and in the skit, Jesus came out and forgave the guy, I think it was Peter, but then it started with each person going up and hugging them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it turned out it was a she, but she looked just like Jesus. When she got to me, I backed up in my chair, and all I could do is fall on her feet. And then she reached out and pulled me up, and I gave her a hug.
Yeah. These are things that we it's so hard to even understand. I mean, I think that's the reason why they wrote that song, right? I can only imagine what it will be like when I'm standing in your sight, surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you, be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I even able to be to speak at all? And then my favorite verse. that I just want you to just dwell on for a little while. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. Or mourning. Or crying. Or pain. The old order of things has passed away. Let's pray.